Well, good Monday, Saskatchewan. Jamie and Locker with you on the Green Zone. Hope everybody had a great weekend. And for sports fans, you definitely had your fill from the Rider game Saturday, the Knicks winning the NBA championship Saturday night. Then, of course, last night, the Stanley Cup handed over to Jordan Staal. And the Carolina Hurricanes. Maybe you
now there's no more
Canadian
sports.
No, there's still a Rider game coming up on Saturday. We're good.
What am I going to do at night?
Well, Blue Jays, it would help if they started to make things a little more interesting.
That's
like
point.
They did it about this time last year when they started to pick it up.
Yeah.
Not quite there yet. A little bit later on, in the program, I'll tell you my story on why Wheels has stopped talking to me. The Vegas Golden Knights superfan hasn't talked to me in, when's the last, like Thursday?
Yeah.
Might be Wednesday of last week.
Yeah.
And how I put the hex on the Vegas Golden Knights. And he is not happy. If you believe in the Jamie and I jinx, it might be real. Because
Raiders, Canucks, and now Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah. Yep. You're welcome to all those who did not want to see.
Here's the thing about this revelation. Jamie Nye is not complaining.
I haven't complained once today, have I?
Not at all. If anything, leans more on a celebratory side of things.
Did the boys dare call today? Remember their call after game three? They're up 2-1. Justin
been very,
and Wheels.
Very just, quiet lately.
Nothing. Just crickets around here talking about Vegas.
I'm okay with it.
We begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup, and about last night, the Carolina Hurricanes, 20 years after their first, get their hands on the Stanley Cup a second time.
Here's a lead feed, Hunt Taylor, Hall is in, Hall with a shot, scores! Stankoven again, Blake scores! Jackson Blake, the perfect storm in the 20th anniversary. Their first title. Once again, the Carolina Hurricanes are Stanley Cup champions.
Yes, it was a 3-0 win for the Carolina Hurricanes. Brandon Bussey with the shutout. Of course, he came in that overtime loss in game three. He shut the door in the third period, and the only goal that snuck by him that night was off the end boards. And he locked it down the rest of the way. Three straight wins for Carolina. They are the second best ever team. Since it went to game sevens from the first round all the way through, nobody's done it quicker except for one team. The 88 Oilers did 16-2, 18 games to claim a Stanley Cup. The Carolina Hurricanes, one loss more, 16-3. 19 games.
That's pretty crazy.
To win the Stanley Cup.
The Bussey story's nuts, too, right? He was on waivers.
Yeah, Florida had him put him on waivers, and Carolina claimed him, and there he was. What a record. He was like 31-6-2.
Yeah.
So overall this season, 34-7-2 from his time in the Stanley Cup final. But Rod Brind'Amour, he's the fourth guy to ever do this. Captain and coach the same organization
to a
Stanley Cup. The last to do it was Toe Blake with the Montreal Canadiens.
It'll be wild to see what happens. And we'll talk about this a little bit later on the show, too, I'm thinking, Jamie. It'll be very, very, very intriguing to see how everybody sort of because it's a copycat league. Mm-hmm. How everybody takes this in, and if any teams do anything to restructure or rethink how they approach at least their roster development, right?
They have everybody under contract for next season except for Nikishin on the blue line.
But just
that's and they have $12 million of cap space.
They got no superstars, right? Like.
Nope.
It's very intriguing that the Hurricanes were able to do this. I think it's a sign that that a lot of teams might be doing things wrong. That's my opinion.
And Jordan Staal was the Conn Smythe winner, oldest player to ever win the Stanley Cup playoff MVP. Tim Thomas held that record previously from when he was awarded it 15 years ago today, but I'd rather not talk about it.
Also, this was the first game of the series that the Vegas goaltender Carter Hart didn't allow four goals in a game. CFL, the Riders raised the banner, and they followed up with a win at home.
Here's Harris, throwing again, end zone! Touchdown! Harris, something he's been on the field the whole time! Touchdown! Touchdown, Emelis again! Under a minute to go.
The hat trick for Sam, three touchdowns, including the game winner in the last minute. He had six receptions for 91 yards. Harris threw for 417. He looked calm, cool, and collected. KSB, 11 catches and a game-high 165 yards. He was a target, especially early on, for Trevor. Keyshawn Johnson led the Riders' air attack last season, was able to bring in 9 receptions and 131 yards. Hale, Alex, his first CFL game, he did quite well. He went 3 for 4 on field goals and converted all 3 of his extra point attempts. So not a lot of kicking conversation before or after the game, right? Maybe that's settled down this year.
Oh, we'll see. It's a long season of 18 games. Rarely do we go a season talking about it. Yes, it is a big win.
That's a huge win over a team that a lot of people have going to the Grey Cup this year, a lot of the pundits.
And Trevor Harris said just that after the game in his post game. Hard to beat a team that everybody's picking to win the Grey Cup, so they don't listen to predictions. Yeah, right. Okay, to the NBA we go Saturday night. It was a party slash little bit of variety in New York.
Brunson has it. Shot clock at 4. Brunson gets inside. Right-handed off the glass. It's good. Towns off the bounce. Step back. Puts up the 3. It's good. It's over. It's over. Knick fans, this is not a dream. Your long, long wait has ended. Go ahead and cry. After 53 years, the Knicks are finally NBA champions once again.
Yes, the New York Knicks 94, the Spurs 90 was another comeback win for the Knicks in the fourth quarter. Jalen Brunson, the MVP, scored 45, nearly half the points of the Knicks that night for Jalen Brunson. They won the series in 5. Of course, in New York, there are some school buses led ablaze.
A couple of cop cars beat up.
About 60-some people were arrested. There was a shooting as well, unfortunately, in what turned into a little bit of mayhem in New York City with the Knicks winning their first title.
I was actually surprised. I'm not diminishing what happened, but I'm surprised that it wasn't worse. We were talking, you know, in the Green Zone Lounge last week about the possibility of the Knicks winning or losing and what we thought might, you know, predicting that the fans might tear the city down.
As for the Spurs, of course, one of the youngest teams in the NBA, Wembanyama called it a lesson learned. He's not sure what the lesson is, but I imagine this won't be the last time we see the San Antonio Spurs.
Make your field goals at the end of the game?
And free throws, like... Both the last two games completely
rough finishes
for the San Antonio Spurs.
And golf, RBC Canadian Open, our winner, Bud Cauley.
The sweet taste of victory for the very first time.
Now, the American shot 5-under-65 for a two-stroke victory over England's Matt Fitzpatrick. Now, Cauley's drought is 239 tournaments, and the interesting thing about, like, if you were wondering why he was so emotional, you may remember a car accident back in 2018 in Ohio, which derailed his career. He broke a leg. He had a collapsed lung. It was quite a severe accident. He had some issues after the fact as well, trying to get back into pro golf. And yeah, so an interesting story and a good win for Bud there. Fitzpatrick coming up short on the leaderboard, but jumps into first. Somebody to watch this year, because he's got the lead in FedEx Cup standings. Scheffler is down a notch, but he didn't compete this weekend in the Canadian Open. He took it off, so that hurt him in the points gathering department.
And of course, everybody's gathering this week. Opening practice rounds today. U.S. Open goes this weekend for the third golf major of the year. And World Cup, a Canada Open training today in Vancouver, and Alphonso Davies' watch begins.
Today is a key day. You know, if he's with the main group today training properly, then yeah, there's a chance. I'd still be very hesitant to think that he'd get in there. It's a game that Canada should win, right? As simple as that, with or without Alphonso Davies. So why not give him an extra, you know, number of days to get that hamstring up to full health?
Yes, the Canadian superstar on training with Canada in Vancouver today. They play Qatar on Thursday. There'll be more later in the afternoon. That was James Sharman, who will also join us later from Footy Prime, the podcast. A longtime soccer analyst. Remember him with the Score back in the late 90s when he got his start? We've been watching James Sharman on our televisions talk footy in this country for 30 years. So James is going to join us a little bit later on his thoughts on Davies being ready to go against Qatar. Of course, Canada's entire group, Group B, all have 1 point, all draws. Qatar, Switzerland, 1-1. Of course, Bosnia, Canada, 1-1. So Thursday's matches will be huge.
That is a big game
for Group B.
Somebody's got to win here.
Coming up here on the Green Zone, we're going to talk a little Stanley Cup final, Jordan Staal and the Carolina Hurricanes wrapping up the cup, and also the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Later this hour, we're going to do our Green Zone grades. What are your top grades and failing grades from the Riders' 31-27 win over the BC Lions? You can text us at 1-877-332-8255 right here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. It's times like these. Jamie Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Somebody texted in, Josh texted in, Jamie, you has finally learned how to wield the power of the announcer's curse. A Locker, not so much, as the Carolina Hurricanes win the Stanley Cup. So, quick story. Earlier I said Wheels hasn't talked to me in about a week. It was after Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final, that bounce off the boards.
Yeah.
Shea Theodore goes in the net. Carolina goes up 2-1. And there was a lot of, oh my goodness, is Vegas going to win this series? So I don't believe in the broadcaster's curse or anything like that. However, other people do.
You should. You're driving the bus.
So I went, you know what? Let's give it a shot. So the next day, I walked into Wheels, Justin and Wheels' office. Remember this, Locker?
I
walked
do.
In. The Green Zone crew was talking to, because Wheels was talking smack about the Vegas Golden Knights.
They were up.
And I walked in and I gave them both a fist bump. But Justin, Wheels, and they looked at me like, what are you doing? I'm now on your side. And they went, what? I'm on the Vegas bandwagon. Let's do this. Justin was like, hey, you saw the light. But it was Wheels who looked at me and went,
what are you doing?
What are you doing? I said, let's go, baby. Go Vegas. So before Game 4, I texted him, let's go, Knights. They lose. That night, I texted him again and said, don't worry. We got this. Ahead of Game 5, said, can't wait for tonight's game. It's going to be a dandy. Let's go, Knights. And they lost. And after that game, when they were down 3-2, don't worry, Wheels. I believe. And then ahead of last night, I said, do you believe, Wheels? I think we got this. And they lost again.
Cricket.
In which I texted him after the game saying, thanks for letting me jump on the bandwagon. What a ride. He has not talked to me in a week. Hasn't responded to any of those text messages. Avoids me in the halls.
He's avoiding everybody. The right team won, everybody. The right team won.
Maybe the Nye curse is a thing, and that's why the Riders won on Saturday, because I picked the Lions. Jamie Locker with you here in the Green Zone on this Monday afternoon. Well, news coming in, because it's been back and forth. We're in the NHL offseason, by the way. Of course, last night, Stanley Cup gets handed out. Now the offseason begins. Tomorrow is when buyouts can start happening.
Vegas needs another excuse to not let teams talk to their former coach, Bruce Cassidy, who they fired before the end of the season, and now they're holding him handcuffed based on some wording on a contract.
Locker's not bitter. 12 days from now is the NHL draft. Meanwhile, there's two coaching openings still up for grabs, Toronto and Edmonton, and Vegas, I guess. There's three. We're still not sure what happens with
free agency,
John Tortorella.
Deadline coming up.
Of course, July 1st. But about the Edmonton Oilers coaching job, Elliot Friedman and others reporting that the NHL is beginning the investigation into Mike Babcock's departure from the Columbus Blue Jackets. This was only triggered because Edmonton has said, yep, we want an answer whether we can hire Mike Babcock or not. And today, Elliot Friedman had a report that there are some agents who aren't particularly pleased with the Edmonton Oilers, potentially going as far as having players not sign or potentially waive their no-trade clauses if Edmonton came calling if Mike Babcock was the head coach of the Edmonton Oilers. So that story's not over yet with Edmonton and Babcock potentially as the head coach.
It is interesting that they're not letting their foot off the gas on this, because the investigation, regardless of whether or not that was a good idea to not do the investigation, even though he resigned, I still think it was a bad idea. If he did something so egregious and he was such an awful human being that he wouldn't have kept his job and he just resigned to avoid the problem, you still do the investigation.
You would think so.
But my guess, is that they want to do it to see what it is that comes out, and then they'll make a decision from that.
So Chris Johnston reported over the weekend, of course, a TSN and Athletic insider, that from what he was told with people there, he wouldn't believe there'd be anything that would restrict the Edmonton Oilers from hiring Mike Babcock, that there wouldn't be further discipline from the NHL. And Elliott's report today, he said there, from what he's hearing, he agrees with Chris Johnston that there was something more to the photos, but more specifically said one conversation that happened between Babcock and a player that never really got into that investigation that the NHLPA wants to look further into.
But it's a tied to the
Columbus
photos?
No idea.
Okay.
It doesn't sound like it's photo, but there was another conversation that happened between Babcock and a player. That's why the NHLPA would like to have that look. But Chris Johnston reported he doesn't think that would have any dealings with Edmonton not being allowed to hire Mike Babcock.
A lot of guys are dancing around it. Like, again, with all the podcasts,
nobody wants to say anything. Just
no,
right?
No, but you can tell that there's a handful of guys out there that may have heard the story.
There's definitely people that have heard the story. I imagine the Spittin' Chiclets guys have heard the story already.
That's who I was actually referring to, because I listened to their podcast, and you can tell the way they're talking about it that they know what happened, but they're probably avoiding jumping into those waters.
We shall see what the next page is for the Edmonton Oilers.
Do you think they're going to, like, if it's not awful, do you think they hire him?
Why would they go through it if they're not going to? Why would they go through this noise? Like I said, like 10 days ago, I said, if it's intrinsic on the Oilers to say, yeah, we want him on our short list and we want to know, then he's on their short list. And why would you go through the trouble if you weren't very seriously about hiring Mike Babcock? There's no reason. If you weren't that serious and you were just kicking the tires, you would have went, never mind, we don't need this mess. We just wanted to know to put him on their short list. He's not on our short list, not interested. Clearly, there's interest. And we know McDavid, Dreisaitl, Hyman, Ekholm. I forget if there was Nuge.
Nuge wasn't involved, apparently. That's what I've heard.
Have signed off on the hiring of Mike Babcock already.
Nuge strikes me as the guy that if you do text him or email him or call him, he probably won't return the message.
Oh, he's like me.
He does strike me as that guy. And then shows up at camp and,
hey, what's new, guys? Who's that guy? Mike Babcock's here? Weird. I think he might be a little bit more in tune than that. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. But right now, we look back to Saturday's game at Mosaic Stadium with our Green Zone grades.
Jamie and Locker are about to take you to school.
Bueller.
They've got their red pens and filling the margins.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Here are their top grades.
You mean I passed?
And their failing grades.
You get nothing. You lose.
It's time for the Green Zone Report Card.
Here we go. For the first time this Rider season, our Green Zone grades, our top grades and our failing grades from the game against the BC Lions on Saturday, 31-27. The Rough Riders beat the BC Lions at Mosaic.
So I had 31. Actually, I'll save it for my, we'll let you start.
I can't wait for the failing grades from probably most of our listening audience today. They might have, it might be a trend.
Hey, let me do it.
So
you start with your failing grade.
Our failing grades and our top grades. And of course, we love when you weigh in 1-877-332-8255. If there's something we missed that you would like to add to either a failing list or a top grade list. All right, let me begin with my failing grade. Now, it was a Riders victory, so there's not a heck of a lot to complain about. There was no turnovers, but, and I did feel terrible for the in-game hosts. I worked with Sabine. I know her well.
Was it Mark. Battery in the mic or something?
But the sound system kept on crapping out on them while they were trying to do contests, so, and you couldn't hear. So the in-stadium host tried to take over the announcer, PA announcer. Chris Hodges, now the voice of Mosaic Stadium, tried to help. I know it was game one because the preseason game was in Saskatoon, so they didn't clearly work out the bugaboos going into last night. Not sure if it was a battery issue, what it is. They'll figure it out for game two, but I know it was a little bit of annoyance for those who are in the game trying to play along with my favorite contest, which is the Stats is Right contest. It's like Price is Right but with the stats. That's my favorite one because I'm a stats geek.
I like the one Gainer on the tube.
Well, guess which tube he comes out of?
Yeah.
So that's it. My favorite. Not a lot of big issues from that game for a failing grade. So there you have it.
Okay.
In the stadium, Mike.
My failing grade, I don't need one because most of Saskatchewan has already failed Jamie and I for picking BC to win. Interesting, though, because it was 31-21. We both had the same score. I came in here with it written down. I thought you looked at my paper.
No, I said it earlier on the morning show.
You had BC to win. I had the Riders, so I was a little bit closer than you. And trust me when I tell you, more than a couple of people at the game wanted to point out your prediction or lack of prediction.
Do you know what?
I wanted me to bring it up.
Thanks for listening, everybody, to the Green Zone on your weekday afternoons.
So I'm going to go with a double top grades today. My first top grade, a bit of a layup. Trevor Harris, the oldest dirt quarterback, 30 for 36, 417 yards, 3 touchdowns, takes control of the game right out of the gates. The most important part, the end of the fourth quarter, you don't win that game if you don't get a touchdown in that last minute. He looked poised. He looked in control. He did not look frantic at all, and they get a win. Why? Because of Trevor Harris and that offense. That's my top grade.
There you go. My top grade goes to Kian Schaefer Baker. Shake and bake was bacon all game long. 11 catches, 165 yards. How about these two stats? 9 of his 11 catches were for first downs, and 7 of those were on second down conversions. Trevor Harris, back to pass, needs a first down, threw it to Kian Schaefer Baker, and it was almost automatic all night long. Kian Schaefer Baker, welcome back, because he was injured for a lot of last season.
Yeah.
And if he stays healthy, look out for his first 1,000-yard season.
All right, and my top grade goes to all the tailgaters. I was really, really impressed. I think that's a fantastic start. Not only were there strong numbers, but a bunch of people came out to witness what was going on as well. Everyone looked like they were having fun. No one was out of control. And now I have a new drink that I need to try. Apparently, it's called the Belton. We'll get more details on that a little bit later on the show, because it's Monday and Belton, our Green Zone football insider, will be joining us a little later on the show. I will add this, though. There's too many rules for the tailgaters. Listen, I know this is
they're not allowed smokers.
I know. It's so stupid. Okay, listen, I realize this is brand new for you regulators, and that you're worried that the whole world is going to come crumbling around us because we now have tailgating. But please, we're not going to burn down the stadium if somebody brings down a deep fryer or a smoker. Like, let's just relax as well. And another suggestion, maybe a couple more porta potties, 2 on each corner, might not be enough.
So you do have a failing grade.
Okay, I have a failing grade. It's the lack of porta potties. For the love of, I mean, come on. You had like a couple thousand people down there, and you got 4 porta potties to handle everybody. And you're so worried about litter? Well, guess what? People are peeing all over the parking lot because they're not standing in line because they're drinking beer and they don't want to wait for the line for the porta potties. So maybe double up, 4 on each corner. Just throwing that out there.
Sounds like Locker had a line for the loo on Saturday at the tailgating.
Well, I had a couple of beer and then I was standing in line for a half an hour. That's prime drinking time.
But you're allowed to drink and wait, right?
Well, I didn't think it was going to take me that long, so I didn't take one with me.
Well, now you know for next time.
Yeah.
There's our top grades and our failing grades. What are yours? 1-877-332-8255. This is the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie Locker with you here in the Green Zone. Wayne has some top grades and failing grades from Saturday's win for the Riders. Wayne, what do you got for your top grade?
I've got Trevor Harris. The guy was, I mean, he was so cool. It was unbelievable. He was so calm. For a minute there, you would have thought, well, he's just playing football at the church picnic with his cousins and friends. I mean, like, seriously, like, nothing got to him.
And but your failing grade?
Well, I'm not really sold on the kickers, especially our punter. Like, he's got to grow a longer leg or something. No, like, I don't know. He doesn't seem to have the leg. And our other kicker missed the field goal already, like, from, like, a stone's throw. So that's got to shape up a bit. But, yeah, Trevor Harris, baby. That guy is as cool as a cucumber.
Yeah, he is on his game. He's making 40 look fine right now for Trevor Harris. Punting-wise for the Rough Riders, Oscar Chapman, he's near the bottom of the league in punting, and not too bad in net yards when it comes to the coverage unit from Saturday, so not terrible.
It didn't look like it hurt them.
Nope. I don't think so, but could see some improvement. It was also a windy day a little bit in Saskatchewan, depending on which way the wind blew and when you had to kick those punts, could determine a little bit of the average. But I don't want to do this today, but it's this day in sports history.
Should be done.
Ipswich Farm remembers.
I'll be back.
15th. 15 years ago till the day.
The net still empty. Dropping back as BX as a goalie. Marshawn the shot. He scores! Marshawn, second goal of the night. Fourth for the Bruins. For the first time in 39 years, the Boston Bruins have won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah,
pretty close.
Game 7 in Vancouver.
It's not your fault.
Canucks lose to
Bettman.
The Bruins.
It's the Bettman curse.
Patrice, here's the thing. It was 2-0 Boston. Zdeno Chara gets a penalty. Zdeno Chara's off the ice in the penalty box.
He
and you're
barely
thinking,
left the ice
and
in
it's
the
like,
playoffs.
Here we go. A chance. On the power play, Chara's in the box, and Patrice Bergeron scores shorthanded to make it 3-0 late in the second period. And that was a very quiet basement watching the third period of that game, I'll tell you what. I remember the people that were over at my house. I don't know what we talked about. I don't know if we said a word for 40 minutes. Yeah, that's this day in sports history, the Bruins winning in Game 7. And then, of course, Vancouver fans showing their class by trying to burn their city to the ground after losing that Game 7 15 years ago today.